Reading is taken from Acts chapter 11, verses 19 to 30. It can be found on the service sheet. Now those who had been scattered by the persecution that broke out when Stephen was killed traveling as far as Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch, spreading the word among only Jews. Some of them, however, men from Cyprus and Cyrene, went to Antioch and began to speak to Greeks also, telling them the good news about the Lord Jesus. The Lord's hand was with them, and a great number of people believed and turned to the Lord. News of this reached the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch. When he arrived and saw what the grace of God had done, he was glad and encouraged them to all remain true to the Lord and with all their hearts. He was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith, and a great number of people were brought to the Lord. Then Barnabas went to Tarsus to look for Saul, and when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. So for a whole year, Barnabas and Saul met with the church and taught great numbers of people. The disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. During this time, some prophets came down from Jerusalem to Antioch. One of them, named Agabus, stood up and through the Spirit predicted that a severe famine would spread over the entire Roman world. This happened during the reign of Claudius. The disciples, as each one was able, decided to provide for the brothers and sisters living in Judea. This they did, sending their gifts to the elders by Barnabas and Saul. This is the word of the Lord.
A moment to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for these wonderful saints in the Bible that we learn about, and we thank you that for those of us who love and trust you as Savior, who believe that Jesus died for us, who believes that he's alive today, who believes that he's coming again, who gives us your Holy Spirit to live day by day, we thank you that we too are called saints. And so we pray now that you will teach us more of your love and your grace. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Not a lot about Barnabas, as you will discover, but we've had a lovely reading that Matthew has given us, which is printed out on your sheet. So we encourage you to take the sheet with you, because that gives you a good bit about Barnabas. And notice what it says about him. Barnabas was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit and faith. That's amazing, isn't it? I would sum that up by simply saying he was a godly man, a godly man. And the wonderful thing is, we don't have to go to the Old Testament. We don't have to go to stained glass windows. Godly men and godly women, godly boys and girls are all around us. Hallelujah. Isn't that good? And we meet them. And it's for each one of us to be able to say before our God, I want to be a good person centered on Jesus Christ. I want your Holy Spirit to come into my heart and life. I want you to increase my faith. Then you're godly. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Just a few things about Barnabas. As we've discovered with our boys and girls and young people helping us, that he was generous. And that's a sign of a godly person, generous. And he sold this field. And the interesting thing is that he would have been a rich man to have a field to sell on an island like Cyprus in those days, let me say, in those days. But it would have been a risk for him to do that. It wasn't just easy, because property meant everything to people. It does to us today, but more so in those days, because it would have been an inheritance that he would receive from generations before him. It wasn't a question of getting a mortgage and getting a property and earning your money. It would have been an inheritance. And so it was very precious. It was very important. So he was a man who was taking a risk, because he could well have had members of his family saying, hey, what do you think you're up to? That belongs to the family. That's where our name is. Our name is in the property. Our name is in that piece of land that you've gone and sold. So it could have been, we don't get this in the New Testament. We gather that information from those who have explored the time and cultures of his day. So he was generous, godly, but he was prepared to take risks as well. And I think for us today, that's quite something. Sometimes in our seeking to encourage other people in all sorts of ways, we have to take a risk sometimes. Sometimes you can, I've had this experience, you can encourage someone and you get either the cold shoulder or, metaphorically speaking, you get a slap across your wrists. Anybody ever had that happen? I bet you have. You've sought to encourage them, you've done the wrong thing. You say to yourself, I've done the wrong thing. Well, if you've done the wrong thing, you have to suffer that. So Barnabas was a generous man, but he took risks. And when you think about it, he took a risk with Paul, didn't he? You know enough about Paul to know that he was persecuting the Christians. He was a clever man. He was a Pharisee. We might well give Matthew the mortarboard, but he was a clever guy. Intellectual, a lawyer. And he had got permission from the hierarchy of the Jewish church to get rid of as many Christians as he could. We have a little tiny snapshot of him when Stephen was stoned. Do you remember Stephen getting stoned to death? First Christian martyr. What does it say? Paul, or Saul, as he was called then, Saul, was consenting to his death. So he was probably, you know, the chap who would sign the death warrant. He was consenting to it. And people left their cloaks at his feet while they got ready to hurl the stones. That was Saul, who became Paul. And suddenly God meets him. You know the story on the Damascus Road. And he becomes a Christian. So he naturally wants to join the Christians in Jerusalem, and the Christians say, hang on a minute. If I'd been there, I would have been very wary, I'm sure. We need to suss this man out. We need to prove him, perhaps. And we read a lovely little sentence. I've written it down here for us. It's a lovely sentence in chapter 9. But Barnabas took him to the church leaders. Such a simple phrase. And out of that came Paul. Paul that we know so much about as the great missionary who brought the gospel to Europe. Paul who wrote those marvelous epistles and letters that we have recorded for us in the scriptures that we learn so much from. Okay, you may find them difficult sometimes. David is preaching on Romans tonight. I did last Sunday night. It wasn't that easy. But it's good stuff. It's truth. Barnabas took Paul. I think that's just a lovely, simple phrase, is that. He became his advocate or his encourager. The words come very closely together. His advocate, his encourager, and brought him to the Christian leaders there in Jerusalem, and as you can see, he went all over the place with Barnabas as well. But it was a risk. Barnabas was known to be a godly man, but it was still a risk. He could have got it wrong. Some of the hierarchy in Jerusalem were saying this man might be good, but he could get it wrong. But he was an encourager and would have encouraged him. And then we think about this little lad, John Mark. You see, they picked up John Mark from the church at Jerusalem and took him to Antioch. That was Paul and Barnabas together. And John Mark went with him on this first missionary journey. And then we just read a little phrase and it says, and John Mark went home. Now we don't know why. But the fact that when it came to plan the second missionary journey and Paul and Barnabas was getting together to do it and Paul said, I'm not going to have him again, he let us down last time, would seem to say that John Mark, you know, lost steam, got frightened, was unsure about his Christian faith perhaps, pushed off home. And so Paul says, rubbish. Barnabas says, no, second chance. Second chance. That was Barnabas. But it was a risk. Barnabas could have been wrong. John Mark could have, you know, gone two stages up the line and pushed off again. But we know from bits, little references to him in some of Paul's letters and so on, that John Mark made it good. What a good thing Barnabas stuck with him. Have you had people done that to you? Encouraged you when you've not shown up so well? I have. And I thank God for them. Some of them I can remember. There must be quite a lot of people I can't remember. Can't remember them by name. But I thank God for them nevertheless. So he was an encourager. He was a guide. He took risks. He was a generous man. But also notice, will you, that he was, I've used a term because it gives you another G. That's funny, isn't it? Three G's you've got to remember. He was a guardian of the gospel. He was a gospel man. There wasn't any messing about. There wasn't anything about, well, you know, if you do a few good things and if you're a nice guy and all that sort of thing, and oh, don't worry about that, you know. No. He was a guardian of the gospel. We read he remained true to the Lord. And he said to other people, you remain true to the Lord. Not to the church, but to the Lord. With all your hearts, he added. In other words, keep right on with the gospel. And remember, in those days, they didn't have the New Testament written down. They had the Old Testament that we know, and that was all about God and the gospel. The gospel is in the Old Testament. Don't think the gospel is just in the New Testament, will you? The gospel is the good news of God, and it's there from Genesis to Revelation, and it's for us today. So he encouraged them. And he encouraged them to proclaim the word of God. I'm quoting some verses now. And to tell the good news. There's another quotation that comes about Barnabas. No wonder we read the word of God spread throughout the whole region with people like Barnabas there, taking every opportunity to share it. And then they had to work out, the main council at Jerusalem, they had to work out how they were going to have this relationship with the Christians who were Jews. Jews had become Christians. So the Jews had got all their rules and regulations. And they weren't going to rubbish them. They weren't going to say, for all these years you believed all this stuff and it's a load of rubbish. They weren't going to do that. But they had to work out how it fitted into the Christian faith. And they did. They did. So the leaders at Jerusalem wrote a letter. It's there in chapter 15. Wrote a letter, gave it to Barnabas and Paul, and said, go back to the church at Antioch and spread it round all these other churches that you've been into in Cilicia and all around there. So this is how it works out. You don't have to be circumcised. That was a big issue. You don't have to be circumcised to become a Christian. There's certain sorts of meat you ought to stay off a bit. Just worked it out. And that would be Barnabas encouraging them to do it so that people would be encouraged. What a man, a guardian of the gospel. And so there he is. He originally was called Joseph, but the apostles, we read in chapter 4, called him Barnabas because he was the son of encouragement. He was an advocate. He was a counselor. Now, the wonderful thing is, you know, at the 9 o'clock service, we read a bit of John's Gospel, chapter 14, where the Holy Spirit is called the Counselor, the Advocate. That is God's gift to us through the death of Jesus, the Holy Spirit. He is our Advocate, He is our Counselor, and it's given to us so that we might, in our turn, be an Advocate and a Counselor and an Encourager. And sometimes we call the Holy Spirit the Comforter. And it's all the same kind of word. I don't know whether any of you have ever been to Bayeux in France. Anybody ever been and seen the Bayeux tapestry? Oh yeah, got a few. Well, I have, very fortunately, and I bought the little thing. This goes out into yards and yards and yards of it. It's exactly exact copy of it. And the bit that I'm interested in to give to you today is this little bit. It comes towards the end, if I've got the right bit. Probably not. Here we go. And it says, William's brother, now you know how old William was, don't you? Knocked us about, 1066 and all that. Bit of history? You've got to know that one. Anyway, William's brother, Odon, Bishop of Bayeux, encourages the soldiers. Now he was encouraging the English soldiers, mind you, not the French, not the Normans. He was at the Battle of Hastings, this is. This is a wonderful tapestry that was worked about 100 years later. Lovely story. There's plans afoot, incidentally, of bringing the actual thing to our country. Do you know that? But, you know, originally it was going to be next year, and now it's going to be in the next 10 years, and you know how things go. Anyway, it would be very difficult because it's very precious. There's only one like it in the world. Now, the thing is, what I want to bring to your attention is, what was the bishop doing? To begin with, he's going in the opposite direction to the Norman soldiers, encouraging the English. And what is he doing to the English soldiers? Is he giving them a glass of sherry? Or is he giving them a hot water bottle or a bag of chips? No, he's got a stick in his hand and he's poking them. Comforting the troops. Comforting the troops. And that is really part of the encouragement we need to think of giving. It isn't all there, what a dear. It isn't all carpet slippers and hot water bottles and a glass of hot lemon with whiskey. It's encouraging us on. It may be a prod. It may be they have to say, no, come on. Comforting the troops. And isn't it wonderful that God does that? Have you ever been prodded by God? I have. Sometimes it's been just what I need. Sometimes I've said, But it's God comforting us, encouraging us, our advocate, so that we may live to his glory. A moment to pray. Father, thank you for people like Barnabas. Thank you that it's written in the Bible. We can learn about it. We thank you that it points us to you, our Father God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we pray that we may seek to live in a way that we can take risks, but we can encourage, that we will be a guardian of the gospel, and that we will be generous in all that you entrust to us. And we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.